And what we're reading today is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through to 14. And I'm sure it will come as no surprise that this is talking about the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up also from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Well, good morning and happy Christmas. It's great you're here. Great to see you as we celebrate this momentous occasion. Isn't it great that we can come together as a family and celebrate the birth of our Saviour together? Thank you for giving up your time. Thanks for sacrificing to be here. What a great time it is. Before we get into it, I'd love to pray for us. So would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come together to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Lord, thank you that we can just take time out of our busy day just to stop and to reflect on you. Lord, I pray that as we reflect on who you are this morning, that we'll be encouraged, that we'll be inspired to live for you, that our hearts may be open to what you want to do in our lives. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, I've already heard this morning that some people were up nice and early to get some Christmas presents. Now, who here has already been under their Christmas tree and opened some presents? Anyone? Oh, we've got a few people around. That's right. I've already been shown a few toys that we've got, and I'm very excited for them. And the day started with a lot of excitement, which is fantastic. There's others of us who may be going home to some presents under a Christmas tree. But if I was to say to you, I've got a few elves out there, and they're just ready to go to your house while you're here to put the ultimate gift under your tree, what would that be for you? What would it be for you if I could just send, in some magical way, the ultimate gift to you? I'm sure we've all got different ideas of that. You know, if I was honest with you, I'd probably be saying, well, it probably involves something with two wheels and a motor, and it would be really nice to walk into my lounge. Well, you probably wouldn't get it in my lounge room, but that'd be really nice. But what is it for you? What is the ultimate gift that you may receive? Well, this morning, I have the great privilege of sharing with you about what I truly believe is the ultimate, the best, a gift that no money can buy, a gift that no matter how hard you work, you can't earn it, a gift that is beyond the ability for me or for you to get by our own efforts. And of course, this gift is Jesus. You know, when I think about who Jesus is, it reminds me of a diamond. Now, I don't have a diamond. If I did, I'd be able to hold it up here for you. But the best I can do is a photo, and it's probably the best that I'll ever have of a diamond is a photo. But a diamond has different faces. It's actually called facets, if I'm correct in that. And when you look at a diamond, all these different facets or faces of a diamond are amazing. They all reflect light. But all these faces actually make the diamond as a whole so amazing. And when I think about who Jesus is, it's like looking at this priceless diamond, and he has so many different characteristics, so many different facets that we can appreciate. And I'm sure you want to get home today at some time, therefore we're not going to look at the holistic, look at the whole diamond, we're just going to look at one of the characteristics, of the facets of Jesus this morning, which I hope will be a great encouragement to us. Something that is truly amazing. A gift that he brings each and every one of us, that he offers us this morning. And this gift is what the prophet Isaiah spoke about hundreds of years before. This is what he said. He said, "For unto us a son is given." For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. I'm getting mixed up with the song and the Bible verse. It says, "The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, in this prophecy, Isaiah was talking about this amazing Messiah, this one who will come, who will be able to bring so much to our world. But the one I'd love for us to think about this morning is this one that says at the end, Prince of Peace. As Jono said, I think peace is something that's lacking in our lives today. Peace is something we may all desire, but it's something that is just out there somewhere rather than in here. And it's interesting that at Christmas time we talk about the Prince of Peace, or we sing songs about peace, yet it's such a hectic time. And the last thing we feel at times is peace. The last thing we think of is this Jesus who came to earth to offer me something that just seems out there somewhere. Be honest with yourself. When was the last time you truly sat in perfect peace? When did you just sit there and go, "I'm at peace"? That inner thing within you that goes, "All is well." When was the last time you sat like that? Or maybe it's this thing within me, like my soul or my spiritual aspect, and I can just sit before God and I'm just going, "All is well." Where I can just sit before him and know that all is well. 100%. He looks into my eyes, I can look into his eyes, and it's just like, oh, there's a peace there. I don't feel I need to do anything. I don't feel I need to earn something. I'm just sitting there and going, all is well. When's the last time you sat like that? Well, normally, when we think about peace, we think about the absence of things. I think about the absence of fear, the absence of anxiety, the absence of war. You know, that would be peace. You know, if you have young kids, you may think, well, peace would be when I can hand over my kids to the grandparents or someone I trust, and I can have 5 minutes by myself. I can sit and go, this is peace. This is great. And it may be for a period of time. It may be for you, like it is, you go for a walk out in the bush and you're just walking along and it's just peaceful and you hear the birds singing or you hear just a bit of silence and you go, ah, this is so peaceful. Until you get back in your car and you've got to drive back to Sydney, and that peace soon evaporates from your life very quickly. You see, peace that we seem to think is good is so temporary. It's based on the circumstances around us. But when the Bible talks about this peace, this word peace that Jesus came to bring, it actually talks about a word that I'm sure you've heard before, which is shalom. Now, this is a word I'm sure you've heard people say to each other, but it's something that is far greater than just the absence of something, for it means that it's something that we can actually have. This is what shalom means. It means to bring completeness, to bring wholeness, to be fully restored, to be whole. It's like on the side there, I've got a brick wall. That brick wall is shalom. There's no cracks in it. Every brick is in place. It's complete. So the opposite of shalom is like this brick wall. This brick wall, you know, there's something missing. It's no longer complete. It needs to be restored. It's no longer whole. So shalom, which is what the Bible translated into peace, is a thing that's just not the absence of something. It's actually what God can bring us. I love this definition. Oh, sorry, before I get to that, the problem with when we have a circumstantial understanding of peace is that we think that if I change the circumstance, well, then I'm going to have peace. And if you're like me sometimes, if you see a crack in your wall or a hole in your brick wall, you put on your belt and you think, okay, I'm a bit of a DIY try hard and we're going to go and try to fix it. Have you ever done that? Okay, let me try to fix this crack in the wall. Okay, I'll go up to Bunnings. They'll be able to help me. Go and get a bit of plaster, buy a bit of a spatula, and I'll go whoosh, straight over it. What happens? Next day, the crack reappears, and you think, what's going on? I thought I fixed the hole. I thought I fixed the crack. And we all try this. We all try this in our lives, don't we? What can I do myself to fix my shalom? What can I do myself to fix this peace within me? Especially when it comes to maybe our relationship with God. And so, well, what do? Well, we try to think, okay, well, if I try to earn God's favor, then I'll feel this sense of shalom. If I seem to do enough to make people happy around me, then they'll like me, then I'll have shalom. I'll have this completeness because others will make me feel whole. And I'll feel good about myself. Some of us try the old shopping therapy. Oh, I just need to go and buy something. That will make me feel happy and I'll just feel good within myself then. A bit of shopping therapy never hurts anyone, does it? Until the day after Christmas and we look at our credit cards. Some people escape. I know how I can have shalom. I know how I can feel good within myself. I'll just take something and then I can just escape this world. And then I'll have peace. You know, even though we may feel that we can temporarily fix this, mate, the cracks soon reappear in our lives, don't we? For we've only covered the surface. But the peace that God offers us, Jesus didn't come to put a bit of a slab over your cracks. He came to do a deeper fix. You see, peace or shalom is found in restoring that which is broken, including our spiritual lives. It's a profound sense of assurance that you are completely and fully reconciled with God. That is true peace. You see, Jesus and what he brings, he comes to the core of the problem. He just doesn't look at the cracks in our lives. He looks at the heart, because that's where I believe our problem is. That's what's going on for me. That's what's going on for us. He didn't come to temporarily fix the cracks. He came to do a complete renovation, a complete restoration. And how does he do this? Well, we see he does it through what Jesus has done for us. This is what it says in Colossians. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled. I love that word. I love that word for what it truly means. God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace. In other words, remember, what's peace? Wholeness, completeness, a full restoration. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you. This includes you, includes me, us, who once were far away from God. You see, we all were his enemies. We were all separated from him by our evil thoughts and our actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ by his physical body. As a result, has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Through the work of Jesus, through what he has done, we can have complete and perfect peace. Shalom. Wholeness. God calls me that I'm now holy and blameless. Standing before God, complete. Now that's peace. Not thinking I've got to try to earn my way to God. Not thinking I've got to do something to earn his merit or favor. I can just come before him, and through Jesus, here I am, God. And he goes, you are holy and blameless because of what Jesus has done. Now, I'm sure I don't need to remind you, but the reality is all of us at some point have lived independently of God. We've all thought, well, I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the one who's in control. I'm the one who's going to work my way through life. We're all like that. And this is clearly shown with Adam and Eve, isn't it? And see, God told them that they can live an ultimate life. Just picture this for a second, this Garden of Eden, everything perfect, everything. Beautiful fruit to eat, gardens to enjoy, animals running around. This relationship between Adam and Eve and God was shalom, complete, perfect. Adam and Eve's relationship with each other was shalom, a complete nakedness, and they felt no shame. A complete unity. Their relationship with the world was shalom. It was complete. They just enjoyed everything. It was beautiful. Absolutely perfect. But yet they decided to act independently of God. They heard a lie that you are not complete. This is a lie from Satan. You are not complete. You need to actually do something so that you can be whole. Even though they were, they believed the lie. And what did they do? Well, they ate the fruit because they thought that that would give them something that they thought was missing in their lives. And what did that do? What did the lie, what did that cause? A brokenness of shalom with God. They ran, they hid from God. Imagine that. Here's God who created these beautiful people. And all of a sudden, they're hiding from him. It broke shalom with each other. It wasn't my fault. It was her fault. It was his fault. It was the snake's fault. It broke shalom with each other. And we see that they were removed from this garden. And now we've got to work this earth. Now we've got to try to fix the weeds. And, you know, it's broken shalom all through because people tried to live independently of God. And you know what? Just be honest with you, I'm no different. And I don't think any of us are any different, really. We've all decided to live independently of God. But that's what makes this gift of Jesus, of peace, so profound and so amazing, is that while I was living independently of God, the Bible says, while I was a sinner, Christ came. He stepped into our world when we didn't invite him because he knew that we needed peace. It's because of our brokenness, this brokenness of shalom, that Jesus came. And this is why his peace is so amazing. There's another beautiful story that Luke tells us in one of his Gospels about this, about one day when Jesus was, you know, walking around with people. He went to some Pharisees' place for a meal. And Pharisees are, you know, religious leaders, and these people were more the upright people. They thought they had it all together. You know, they were the upper class type of people. And they said, Jesus, come along. And Jesus said, yeah, no worries, I'll come and have a meal. But what happened to that meal was not something that they expected. For there was a woman in that town who was known to be immoral. A woman who was looked down upon. A woman who was, didn't do the right things. And she knew that. This woman, she came into the meal. She went down onto her knees, went to Jesus' feet, and she wept. And she wiped his feet with her hair. And she had some beautiful perfume. And she poured that on Jesus' feet. You know, this woman knew who she was. She had tried many, many different things in her life to find shalom. She thought, this void in my life, how can I fill that? She tried many things, like we do, to fill this void. But then she realized that there's something about Jesus, something about if I go to Jesus, this void can be filled. Even though these religious people, you know, they weren't happy with this woman being here. How could a sinner come into our presence? How could this sinner come up to this guy and do this act? How dare she? How dare she be here? Look at what Jesus says. And I love this. He says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many. Jesus didn't hide the truth that she wasn't a righteous person. Jesus didn't hide the fact that she was a sinner. There are many, but yet they've been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who's forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In other words, he's saying, you are complete. What a beautiful picture. This broken woman coming before Jesus. And he says, now you can go in peace. The Prince of Peace, restoring that which was broken, bringing to completion a life that was broken. Fill in the void with his love, with his acceptance, with ultimate peace, shalom. Imagine how that woman left there. Peace, God's gift of peace. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. What an amazing gift. Jesus came to give each and every one of us who are just like this woman, who have a void in our lives, that there's this relationship with God that's been broken. And Jesus says, I've come to restore that for us, to bring you wholeness, to know that we can be complete in him, to know that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love, because it's all about what Jesus has done for us, not what we can do to earn or deserve this amazing gift. God's gift of peace for you and I. And you know, when we fully grasp this truth, and I mean fully grasp it, I'm on a journey with this, guys, to be honest with you. Yes, I've accepted this gift, and I'm so grateful for it, but I'm still trying to process it, what it means to be fully at peace with God. Yes, I've accepted it. But when we fully get this truth allowed to permeate everything about us, It will not only give us a full understanding of our new identity in Christ as a child of God. Identity is a huge thing. In January, we're going to be talking a little bit about this, about who we are in Christ. So come along. You look, that's going to be awesome. But it's also going to influence, as it comes into my life, it's going to influence what comes out of my life. And I believe that if we are living with shalom with God, then I'll be able to live with shalom with those around me. See, God come to restore all things. But I've got to get this right first. It's only when I get this right that I can do this. God gives us an amazing gift of peace. Now, you may be thinking, yeah, but what happens when life is just really, really difficult? Some of you may be there today and think, you know, peace is the last thing for my mind because this, and it's just life is really tough at the moment because of circumstances. Maybe it's because you may have lost a loved one. Maybe it's because, you know, whatever it may be. You know, God's gift of peace, let me be clear about this, does not stop bad things from happening. It doesn't. God never promises that. I don't see that in Scripture because I look at Jesus and look at his life. He went through some difficult times, right? Yeah? You know? Jesus, God didn't stop that. What about his disciples, those who were closest to Jesus? Did they have just a joyful, free from trouble life? No. They didn't. They went through difficult times. They lost loved ones. They grieved. They died. You see, God's offer of peace does not mean that things are going to be, everything's going to be rosy. But what it does mean, and I want to really help you understand this, is that even though we will go through tough times, and we will, the promise of peace means that God is with us. That's the difference. I'm not going through this alone. The God, exactly, God with us, Emmanuel. He's with me through this difficult time. You see, David got this, didn't he? Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though life is just so dark, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Man, what a place to be in our dark days to know I'm not alone. That I can still have this inner peace because I'm loved by God and he's walking with me. And God, I'm trusting you with all of this because it's beyond my capabilities to understand. It's beyond my control. I'm just here, but thank you that you're with me in it. That's God's gift of peace. So here's some questions as I finish up for us to think about today. If you have not yet, like this woman, come humbly to Jesus and said, I need what you can give me. That's what's on offer for you today. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, offers to restore your life, to bring you wholeness, to bring you into a relationship with God that is complete. That's what I want to offer for us this morning, if for those of us who have not yet come to him. Have a think about that. That's better than any gift I could put under your Christmas tree, I'm telling you. That's what's on offer for you today. And just like this woman, it just means coming before Jesus and saying, yes, I need that. I've been trying to fill this void with many things in my life. But really, I'm honest with myself, and nothing has filled it. But I hear that you can. I hear, and I'm trusting that you can fix that. And Jesus says, I can because of what I've done. That's what makes it so certain. And he will restore us. You can come before him today and ask for that. But I'm sure there's also people here today who have been following Jesus for some time, who have accepted his love and forgiveness. But yet there's still things in our lives that are robbing us of peace. There's still things that we're trying to hold on to instead of allowing God to fill us completely with his peace. I'm trying to fill some voids in my life, and they're just robbing me of joy. That are distracting you from coming totally before God and enjoying the peace that He offers. As Christians here today, do you sit in perfect peace? That's what's on offer. It's not my idea. This is what God came to bring each and every one of us. What an amazing offer. So let me encourage us today, no matter who we are, no matter where we've come from, to reorientate our focus, our thoughts upon Jesus. For He is the one who is the Prince of Peace.